It is Communion Sunday. We want to be looking at just the teachings of Jesus surrounding the Last Supper, surrounding the Lord's table. If you look at, today we'll be looking at John 13, but John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, they all take place in the same scene around the Lord's table. And so just as our lives aren't just neatly segmented, these all intertwine, and the ministry of the Lord's table actually enhances them and brings these things to life. And Jesus, in the Lord's Supper, he shares this, that he reveals how his body is going to be broken, how his blood is going to be shed. And right there in the midst of that, he washes his disciples' feet. And so these things are connected. And Jesus asks at the end of what we're going to read today, he says, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" And so the Lord's table, what's amazing about this is it's not just simply a religious ritual that we do, but it's actually going to speak to us. It's actually going to instruct us today. It's actually going to give understanding. And so let's pray that the Holy Spirit would just work during this time, and we'll get into the Word. Holy Spirit, we love you, and we thank you for your Word. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for just revealing yourself to us as healer today, Lord. We love you, and we praise you, and Lord, help us to continually remember all your works. And Lord, we just thank you for this time, and thank you for your Word. And Lord, we need help to understand, to know the heart of the Father. Lord, we need you to come and testify to us of Jesus. And so we ask this morning, would you open our eyes? Would you enlighten our hearts? Would you give us, just as Michael prayed this morning, a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of who you are? In Jesus' name, amen. So in John chapter 13, we read, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And the one verse I just want to highlight out of this passage here is that Jesus, he loved them to the end. Or other translations will read, he wanted to show them the full extent of his love. And in the past of my Christian journey, my Christian walk, I'd always hear about the love of Christ. Jesus loves you, or the love of the Father. And my take on it was always, I got it. Check. All right. I understand. God loves me. Right. Jesus loves me. Read the sign. He's in my heart. Everything's good. And so my perception was that if you spent so much time emphasizing the love of Jesus, that was something that was purely for those super emotional people. It's just about people looking for an experience. It's about people trying to get a warm fuzz, you know, just basking in the love of God. But me, I wanted to be mature. I wanted a substance to my faith. I wanted real meat to digest. But as the Lord has truly brought maturity to my life, what I've discovered is that the love of God is the foundation for the kingdom. Think about the scripture says this, God is love. Jesus says eternal life is knowing the Father, knowing God, truly knowing what love is and how to love, how to walk out love, how to demonstrate it, what it really is. Paul actually prays for us in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, having this foundation, may have power to grasp how high, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Which Paul isn't praying for something that we already have, or he's praying that we would come into a reality of it. And we need power to do this. There's actually a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives that's revealing to us the height, the depth, the length, and the width of the love of Christ. In other words, you can't get your head around it. It's not something you can lay hold of on your own. If you want, it's actually, here's a great prayer to pray. Holy Spirit, would you come and show me more of the love of Christ? I need the Holy Spirit's power at work in my life, revealing the height, depth, length, and width of the love of Christ. Not so warm and fuzzy, not so flaky, not so just simply emotional, is it? It's actually a work of power by the Holy Spirit showing us these things. I want you to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that's going to completely blow your mind. You can't comprehend it. You can't get your head around it. You can't figure it out. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This the idea of the love of God or the love of Christ, it's not this mild, warm, fuzzy, emotional experience. The knowing the love of God, having the Holy Spirit work in your life with power, revealing the height, depth, length, and width of the love of Christ is key to being filled to all the fullness of God. There's so much more here. We could go on with this forever of what God actually wants to do in revealing His love for us. This love, it is the meat that we're after. It is the substance of what we do. It is maturity in Christ, is walking in the love of the Father. And as I examine my life, I see that the root of any sin issue in my life, the root of any maturity issue in my life, is ultimately due to a lack of love. If I get impatient with somebody, my problem isn't that I'm impatient. My problem is I don't have love, because love is patient. If I'm unkind with somebody, it's not that I'm just cranky. I don't have love, because love is kind. Oftentimes, somebody will wrong me. I'll be offended. I'll be legitimately wounded by something. I have every right to be upset about this. And so I'll take up offense, and I'll have unforgiveness in my heart. And so I have to walk through this with the Lord. I have to cry out for mercy and for help from the Holy Spirit to forgive and bless and release this person. I have to work to come to a place where I can actually like picture their face in my mind and not just be like, rah. And I'll actually feel free. I'll actually feel cleansed. I'm like, all right, God, you really did a work. And then a period of time will pass, and all of a sudden, whoa, it's all just back there again. Was that work not real? No, God is wanting to do a deeper work of love in my heart for that person. My problem isn't the wrong that they did. The problem is a lack of love in my heart. Pride. You know what pride is? Pride is just saying, I love myself firstest and mostest and bestest. And I can write off anybody who doesn't feel the same way about me. Right? The problem isn't pride. It's a lack of love. The love of the Father. The love of Christ Jesus. So when love is the foundation... See, when we have these issues of pride or offense or impatience or anything else coming up, God actually wants to meet those things. He wants to meet us in those places with the full extent of His love. He wants to meet us in those places with the whole measure of the fullness of Himself there. He wants to fill us. And when love is not the foundation, suddenly everything else becomes skewed, because then we might do acts of compassion or acts of kindness, but ultimately it ends up being for the applause of men. We want our name on a plaque somewhere. I'll give, I'll do this so that everybody thinks better of myself. Or what I found in my own life is I might do something nice, but I'll just do the minimum, just enough to get by. But Jesus, we see here in John chapter 13, He didn't love with just enough to get by. And He didn't love for the applause of man. He loved to the full extent. He loved to the utmost, to the end, everything that He had. And so Jesus, He loved to demonstrate the whole measure of the fullness of God. So He loved to the utmost. He desired to show the full extent of His love. And oftentimes we'll think of love just simply as having an affection or a fondness for something. But here Jesus links love to the utmost. Jesus links the whole measure, the fullness of God with serving, with washing feet, which is profound because Jesus has just brought the full extent of his love, the whole measure of the fullness of God into the unspectacular, into the unremarkable, into the underwhelming, the everyday washing feet. He brought the whole measure of the fullness of God. He brought the full extent of his love into that place. And so here's how this works. Isn't it fun to watch newlywed couples? You've got these two. I heard this statement said, the reason people cry at weddings is because these two people have no idea what they're in for, right? They call marriage is the great sanctifier, right? There's a title of a book, a subtitle says, marriage wasn't supposed to make you happy, it's supposed to make you holy. And so you've got these two people who live in some measure of autonomy. They kind of come and go as they please, whenever, wherever, however they feel like. And then suddenly, let's put them together and make them one. And it's amazing to watch as they try and figure this out and learn to take second place. Learn to prefer the other. Learn to serve the other. Learn to think of the other as more highly, more important, better than themselves. Learn to look not only to their own interests, but to the interests of others. Because this thing doesn't work if we're coming to it looking to get something out of it. It only works when we take second place. It only works when we serve. And in that, it's amazing to see them come into maturity and growth, and the love of Christ abounds. And we see suddenly in marriage the full extent of the love of Christ. And suddenly we welcome the whole measure of the fullness of God into that place. And then it goes on. Then they have kids. And if you thought washing feet was bad, you gotta try washing all the other body parts. Because, I mean, kids will just completely upend everything in your life, right? Because they only puke their guts out on your carpet at the most convenient times. They only throw complete temper tantrums, right? When you've got lots of time to spare and you're just kicking around bored, you know? All right. But in the washing of their clothes and the serving them meals and the cleaning them up and providing for their needs and disciplining them and discipling them and teaching them and training them, suddenly you have to learn to take third place. But in third place, once again, we grow them into maturity. We learn to demonstrate the full extent of the love of Christ. We welcome into our home the whole measure of the fullness of God. And this is just for parents, kids. I'm so glad you're here today. Because you have an opportunity to demonstrate the full extent of the love of Christ. You have the opportunity to welcome into your home the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When mom and dad say, I need someone to take out the trash, or I need someone to do the dishes, you have the opportunity to say, to not say, it's not my turn, or I didn't do it. You can bring into your house the whole measure of the fullness of God. You can demonstrate the full extent of the love of Christ by saying, I got it, Mom, I'm on it. Amen. I said, amen. Mom said amen. Or even better yet, you could say, that trash needs to be taken out. I'm just going to do it. See, and you come into maturity in Christ, or I'm onto this one too, right? What, Mom? Did you say something? I didn't hear you. How do you know that? I invented that move. Right? It's through our serving It's through our laying down our lives. It's through preferring others that we demonstrate the full extent of the love of Christ, that we welcome the whole measure of the fullness of God into our lives. But it goes on even further, because now Jesus says, I want you to love one another just as I have loved you. And suddenly he calls us to belong to a family, to a fellowship, to a body where we get to serve, where we get to lay down our lives, where we get to prefer one another, look not only to our own interests, consider others as better than ourselves. And all of a sudden, we start feeling, we're like, oh my goodness, if I just keep giving away like this, there'll be nothing left. Welcome to the upside down kingdom, where you lose to win and you give to gain. Jesus said, if you try and keep your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Listen, when we give, when we serve, we come into the whole measure of the fullness of God. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes I'll hear parents as they're going from one child to two children, they'll say, I don't know how I'm going to split the amount of love I have between the two of them. But that's not how it works. Love multiplies, doesn't it? It grows. As we give, as we serve, the Lord meets us with more. The whole measure of the fullness of himself, he imparts to us so that we can give and serve and love like he loves, that he can fill us with the whole measure of the fullness of himself. This is what Jesus is doing just with washing feet. He says, this is what I want to fill my people with. And sometimes automatically with a statement like that, people start getting real, real nervous, real jittery, because they want to, you know, how much is too much and not enough? I got to take care of my family too, and I, of course, we want to avoid the pendulum swings, right? We want to avoid saying, let's just serve for the kingdom and leaving our family in the dust. Nobody wants that. I'm not sitting around all week thinking of ways I can just wear these people out and make kids hate church. But neither are we either to leave everything and just come into a holy huddle where it's just our family as an idol. And so I just want to say I get it. I have to walk that tension every day and make adjustments. Okay, well, I kind of went too far on one side or the other. But even beyond that, the best counsel I've heard in this is learning to serve as a family. That kind of almost completely obliterates that whole balancing act that we're trying to keep up. We can actually say to our family, say to our kids, say, listen, the world doesn't revolve around you. It doesn't revolve around our family. We're a part of something much larger. We're a part of a bigger kingdom, a bigger family. And this is just our culture. This is what we do. This is the whole measure of the fullness of God. This is how the love of Christ is manifested in its fullest extent through us. We serve. And then there's almost no room for jealousy at that point. It's just part of our culture and what we do. This is the kingdom of God in our midst. It's the kingdom of God at work. And we come into the whole measure of the fullness of God. And we demonstrate the full extent of his love. And so we ask the question, why did Jesus wash their feet? And the answer is because they were dirty. And it needed to be done. And they stunk. 13 guys trekking through dirt and animal dung all day long, sweating and just their feet. Listen, that room must have stunk. Ever be in a place where there's just this horrible odor? And you can't even think straight, let alone talk, let alone communicate, let alone hear or learn or fellowship. See, we're not just serving just because serving is a virtue in and of itself. There's a purpose and intention. Jesus is like, I got some things to say, guys, and you're not going to hear them until I get rid of this stench. And so I'm going to create space. I'm going to open the doors for fellowship here with serving. I'm going to open the doors for ministry here with love. And see, it's not just serving just so we can pat ourselves on the back and say, look how great we served. It's not doing these things just so we can think more highly of ourselves and look at all the things we do. There's a vision to it. There's a calling and there's a purpose to it. There's something in sight that we want to lay hold of, and it doesn't get done apart from serving. Think about this. As people come in, visitors on a Sunday morning, when you're part of these service teams, this visitor, we come here every week, and so this is normal for us. But a new person in here, it's new sights, new sounds, new faces. They're unfamiliar with the routine or the flow of how things go around here. You can serve them in hospitality and bring them at peace so they can receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit, so their mind's not wrapped up in everything else going on around. Isn't it great that we have people to care for our younger children? They're serving so that you can receive the ministry of the Word. Think about any meeting that you've been to, the men's meeting or the ladies' meeting or even here this morning. Think about our worship team. They didn't just come together and say, let's just do this without any time of service or preparation, but rather they were serving and made preparations, setting up chairs, making sure the lesson was ready, making sure food was ready, making sure all these things were in place so that the ministry of the Holy Spirit could happen. These are just things that just need to be done, but they're done not out of, listen, I've got to do this, or nobody else will do them. It's done out of, I've got a heart to see the Holy Spirit minister in this place, and I want to give and do my part to make sure there are no hindrances to that whatsoever, so that He has complete freedom in this place to do what He wants. But there's a limit to our serving, because we can kind of deal with the externals. And Jesus dealt with the externals there, but what He was getting ready to do was deal with the internals. Jen will make fried rice, and it's amazing. And we have this in our house, we have this giant bottle of Asian sweet chili sauce. It's so good. That thing's loaded with garlic. Loaded. So I could put as much on my plate as I want to, but it comes with a cost. It's so good. So by the end of that night, I'll be sitting down on the couch next to her. We're both facing this direction. We're both watching TV. Something will happen. I'll make a comment like, that's funny. And she's like, oh my gosh. I'm like, what? She's like, how much of that stuff did you have? I'm like, I just brushed my teeth. She's like, no, do it again. Stand a little closer to the brush, right? I'll go back there, or gargle mouth rinse. I'll brush my teeth again. And I come back, I'm like, is that better? She's like, oh my gosh. She's like, it's coming out of your pores. It's so good, but there is a cost. But listen, there ain't no fellowshipping going on during that time. I could take 1,000 showers, I could brush my teeth 100 times, but that's not the problem. It's the internals. It's something inside me that needs a cleansing, right? That's good. You guys will remember this. But here's what Jesus did, is He understood that it was the foulness of our sin before a holy and righteous God that separated us from fellowship with Him. And so Jesus, He removed His outer garments and He clothed Himself to serve. He came as a man. He made Himself of no reputation, emptied Himself, took on the form of a servant, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And today we're gonna share in communion, and we're going to see His broken body, and we're going to remember that sin that was in us, that sin that broke off, cut off fellowship with our Father, was paid for in the body of Jesus. That the wrath of God, the judgment of God, His penalty was fully satisfied and fully paid for in the body of Jesus. Michael was reading from Isaiah today, but another part of that passage, it reads this, that He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was laid on Him. So that thing that was that cut off fellowship with our Father would be completely removed. And not only that, but with His shed blood, He completely washed us and cleansed us so that we could be restored to Him. And so Jesus, at the end of the washing of the disciples' feet, He says, do you understand what I've done for you? And He calls us when he institutes the Lord's Supper, he says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Interesting. The Holy Spirit seems to be bringing that word up today. And I just caught that. Do this in remembrance of me. I want you to go back and think about this, that this is what I did. And we're told to frequent the Lord's table. We're called to continually go back here and remember this. Do you understand what I've done for you? But today, as we approach the Lord's table, we're approaching it from a place of saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for removing from me everything that was offensive to you, everything that separated me from you. You served me in this so that we could have fellowship. Everything that was in the way of hearing from you and knowing you, being led by you, being taught by you, it was removed and paid for. Jesus served us. He cleansed us. He washed us with his own blood and with his body. And not only that, here's the amazing thing about the Lord's Supper is that we actually receive this. We actually receive it into ourselves and it becomes part of us. Because God's desire is that his people would love to the full extent. That his people would be a people who are filled to the whole measure of the fullness of God. And so there's a work of grace that happens. There's a mystery to this. Some people say it's all symbolic and other people say, no, it's really mystical. And here's Paul says, he says, you know, some have brought judgment on themselves because they haven't taken the Lord's Supper rightly. So there's something going on here. And Jesus wouldn't instruct us to do something that was just simply a nice religious ritual. There's something going on here. There's an impartation of the Holy Spirit, a work of grace, as we receive Jesus in his suffering, as we receive Jesus in serving us, as we receive Jesus as he demonstrated the full extent of his love. The Holy Spirit wants to fill us to the whole measure of the fullness of God. And he wants that at work in us, purifying us, giving us power to walk in love just like Jesus did. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to be our example. And Holy Spirit, we thank you today for the grace that you give, Lord, that your divine power has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. And Lord, you call us daily to take up our cross and follow you, Lord, to lay down our lives for one another, just as you laid down your life for us, to love one another just as you loved us. And so, Holy Spirit, we come today saying thank you, Jesus, for the work that you did in cleansing us and in opening the way before the Father for us. Lord, we thank you that we have intimacy, we have fellowship, we have eternal life with the Father because you served us, because you washed us, because you paid for our sins. And we thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we ask that today this would not be just a ritual that we've done 1,000 times before, but Father, I ask you today in the name of Jesus, God, that you would bring fresh revelation to our hearts, fresh appreciation and fresh thanksgiving for the work that you did in cleansing us, in making us new today. And Holy Spirit, I ask you for a work of power in our lives, that you would continue to make us more like Jesus in every way. And so, Lord, we come today and we receive your body and your blood that was broken and shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen.